everything you want to hear about the Leafs and more. This is Leafs Lunch with Andy Petrillo on TSN 4 and TSN 1050, the voice of Leafs Nation.
You're listening to Leafs Lunch here on TSN 1050. We're streaming online today, tsn.ca. I would have said hello a little bit earlier, but Craig Button back in studio and already distracting me. He's talking, he's saying things, and I'm trying to tell him we're up on the air. Do not say anything incriminating when that microphone is up.
Because most of it was incriminating.
Like, what are you doing?
Okay, so now people want to hear, right? Okay, what were we doing? I was telling Dave Poulin, he stepped in for the sick Jamie McLennan on an Ottawa Senators broadcast.
He did, and Pooley had to get pulled off Leafs Lunch for that.
Yeah, and get up there and did it. And, you know, I was just complimenting Dave. I didn't listen to the whole game because we're watching in the studio with all the games, but I thought Dave did a real nice job, was really relaxed. So I was telling Dave, he said, thanks. And then Andy pipes in and goes, how can we never compliment me?
Because you don't.
Because this show is all about Andy. I'm not sure if everyone's aware of that.
I just wanted
not to
point out a very real fact that he compliments people, and then I'm sitting here like a lump on a log. I'm like, oh, okay, what about me over here?
But she didn't.
So then he proceeded to say stuff, and I'm like, the mic is up. I don't know if you know we're on yet.
Well, here's the mic up. So we were working on the NHL Network. So I didn't know Andy. I'd watched Andy on CBC doing Hockey Night in Canada and some different things, and then she came to work on the NHL Network. And, you know, we were spending, you know, a lot of time doing the games overnight.
Nights.
Yeah, and they were good nights and everything. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It was probably about 6 weeks in or something, and Andy and I just got talking. I said, Andy, I got to tell you how impressed I am with you. You know, just, you know, you're on CBC. I said, but you're like that beautifully wrapped Christmas present under the tree that never gets unwrapped. We don't get to see, you know, the wrapping is nice, but we don't get to see the gift in there. And I said, you're a real gift. It was a real pleasure to work with you.
I do remember you saying that.
I remember him saying that.
It was.
He says that, well, how is he going to top that? I would have just stopped there too.
I know. And then I hung him out to dry when he couldn't say specifically on the air one night.
She made a sign, or she made me make a sign, Craig will not say specifically anymore on air.
Because he can't. We're not on TV today, which is too bad, because you are looking quite bronzed, my friend. Welcome back from Hawaii.
Yeah, it was nice. You go to Hawaii, you don't have to look for the sun, it finds you.
And what were you scouting over there?
Nothing.
He's a really good young player.
No. You know what? It was really interesting. And you played against him. You'll recall him. I ran into Colin Patterson and his wife, Sherry.
Oh.
So we had a really good, he was there for a conference finishing up. So we spent their last night. We had a good time with them. Really, really good, solid people.
Very nice.
So we had a really nice time. You know, but it was, you know what it is? It's just a
small
nice
hockey world, just running into people all over the place.
Well,
eh?
You know what?
Isn't it funny?
I was talking to Kevin Allen of the USA Today yesterday, and he said, well, Michael Rossioni was out there, and Dave Fisher, the PR director with USA Hockey, were there too. And he
of course, Michael Rossioni was out there with a glass of red wine in his hand.
I've never been to Hawaii.
Never? Go.
No, I got
to go. It's really, you know, it's really nice. And the time of the year, prior to the trade deadline and everything that goes with it, it was a nice time for just a little rejuvenation.
See, now you're nice and refreshed. You're ready to go. I'm wearing the St. Pat's jersey. So it got announced today that the Toronto Maple Leafs on March 18th, their game against the Chicago Blackhawks. This is all part of the 100-year celebration. They're going to go back to the St. Pat's days, and they're going to wear this jersey that I have on right now. I posted a picture of it out on Instagram. So it's a wee bit big for me.
Looks good on you.
But it's nice, yeah. I like it. I really like
it. You'd do well with that on St. Patrick's Day, actually. You really would.
I'm just going to wear it.
So the 17th is a Friday. St. Patty's Day is a Friday, I believe. So
the 18th is the game.
Saturday. So on the 16th, I'll make sure I'm on Leafs Lunch, and I'll wear my sweater. My St. Pat's sweater.
Okay. I like that. We'll literally
put that in mothballs.
Oh, yeah. Remember going to our grandparents' house?
Oh, just unbelievable. Andy doesn't.
You'd open up a closet, and you're like, what's that
overwhelming
smell?
Overwhelming.
Mothballs.
We just brought back a lot of memories for a lot of people with that right there.
All right. Well, how about we bring back some memories? If you go back to the third game of the season, so we were treated right away to a Matthews Line A matchup. Leafs were in Winnipeg. So that was October 19th, and it was an overtime loss, and it really was the Patrick Laine show. So the Leafs would have had that 4-0 lead, and Patrick Laine picks up his first career hat trick. And it was really what we build, and I say we, the media, we build it as the Matthews versus Laine. And if you go by that, that was one big win for Laine.
Well, talk about two coming out parties in the course of 2.5 weeks with Austin Matthews on opening night and Patrick Laine the first time he saw Austin Matthews. And, you know, Craig, I've quoted you a number of times as I've been asked this year because you used elite, complete centerman to describe Austin Matthews in his draft year. And I've stolen that line a number of times. And yet, who'd have thought we'd be sitting here right now with Austin Matthews having met every single question and every single hope and have Laine sitting beside him in the exact same tenure, exactly the same.
Well, you know what's interesting too, and you know, playing, watching young players come in, scouting young players. You know, the last two drafts, when you think about McDavid and Eichel, and you think about Matthews and Laine, you know, this draft has some really good players in it, and there's going to be some really good players. But boy, you never want to follow the act that the 2015 and the 2016 top two picks have produced, because we're not just talking about star elite players. We're talking immediate impact from the day they started in the NHL. It's so impressive.
An exciting impact, exciting. This will be fun. A lot of people are really geared up for the game tonight, you know.
I want to add one thing, too. Don't forget, Austin Matthews missed a breakaway right before Laine scored his overtime winner.
Yes.
Exactly, you know, like, you know, the drama in the game. It wasn't
and
just
Matthews took ownership of that. I remember after the game, he said, that was on me. I could have closed out the game.
But it was amazing, though, when you think about, like, the back and forth, the drama, the excitement of it. And I think that both those players, Connor McDavid, Jack Eichel, I mean, I think where would the Buffalo Sabres be if they hadn't lost Jack Eichel at the beginning of the season?
Yeah.
I mean, he's an impact player. You want to go and see what these guys do on a night-in, night-out basis. And I think that's going to be for the next 12, 15 years. How lucky are fans? Lucky.
And I know there's some people out there who are saying enough already. And I don't quite know where I stand yet. I have to be honest, because there's some days where I'm like, ugh, how do you compare two guys who really are different? But then there's another part of me that says, well, no, this is exciting, right? Like, even though one's a winger, one's a center, one's very outgoing personality, one is like a 60-year-old trapped in a 19-year-old body as far as just the way they present themselves publicly. But I still like the comparison. I still like the excitement of it. Maybe I don't like the comparison as in who's better for their team, because I don't think that's fair. But I don't know if you compare the two as who would get more attention from a casual fan. Who would make a casual fan more excited to want to tune in?
I would think Laine, because he's got more of that flair. And, you know, I think you think about what Patrick and how he plays and, you know, just that ability. He's long, right? And he's got that length and, you know, kind of an ease. Where Austin is, he's a motor. He's just constantly at the same level, RPMs high, you know, incredibly efficient, change the oil every 3,000 kilometers and just keep motoring along. And, you know, I think back to centermen like Bob Clark and Brian Trotsche and Jonathan Toews today. You know, incredibly important players to winning, but you couldn't call them flashy.
Would you have Tavares in that group?
Yeah,
a little more flashy?
Yeah, probably a little. But yeah, he would fit into that category, too. I watch Alexander Barkov. I don't.
Very similar.
Yeah, like those guys, they're just not. Madonna was exciting, right? Like, he was in.
Yeah, the jersey was flying. The hair was flowing. He was much more Laine.
Right, yeah, exactly. Joe Sakic was a quiet. Boom, the puck was in the net, and you're going, okay, is that Joe's 600th goal in the NHL? Just quietly go about their business. Whereas Laine, he's got a flair to him. He really does.
Yeah, so now, of course, the conversation is this really a two-horse race for Calder between Matthews and Laine?
Well,
you know what's really funny about this? I have Matthews slightly ahead still, and yet Laine, every time I see him play, and I've seen him recently a couple of times, and I watch Winnipeg a lot, and every time I see him play, I'm like, wow. Wow. I mean, if there was going to be a year when you were going to split the award in two, as I'm sitting here on the 21st of February, I would be splitting the award in two right now. And you know what? Take it from here, guys. I'd say, here, you're both getting half fit right now. Who's going to take the other half away over the last half of the year? Is it dependent on if one of the team makes the playoffs? Is it dependent on, you know, some spectacular night that just wows everybody? Because right now, how can you distinguish between these two players?
Well, and I think that's the question, right? It's not so much who has the edge or who doesn't. I mean, we're talking 28 goals. They're right at the top of the league. Forget about rookies. They're right at the top of the league in goal scoring.
Put it in perspective.
And we can't forget about Mitch Marner, and we can't forget about Zach Werenski. And you know, and I will say this, the poor Winnipeg Jets fans think, oh, poor us in Winnipeg. You know, nobody pays attention to our people and our guys. It's an Eastern bias, and I'm reading now stuff about Matthews will win because of the Eastern bias. It's almost like they're preparing. It's like, you know what? Give the voters a little bit more credit than that. You know, they're watching Patrick Laine. They know where he's at. And, you know, when you consider what their impact has been on their teams and what their productivity, I agree with you, Dave. I think we got to use the rest of the season to continue to watch
it. If you had to vote on it today, you'd be flipping a coin. I mean, that's how close it is. And, you know, you look at this group and you look at Werenski and Columbus and you look at Tkachuk. Tkachuk could be a standalone in Calgary. But I have now seen Provorov play 6 times live this year. He's really good. He's really good. And then this other goalie who's already won a Stanley Cup and he's still a rookie, Matt Murray.
Yeah.
I mean, start throwing that mix, and all you say is, boy, this game's in good shape moving forward. Yeah.
Well, and you think about forwards. So we got Matthews and Laine. You got Marner, right? Yeah. Okay, so, like, that could be the all-rookie.
Forgot to mention Nylander.
Okay, so you have Nylander. Okay, you have Matthew Tkachuk. You have Sebastian Aho in Carolina.
Terrific year.
I mean, we're not talking about just good rookies. We're talking about really good players in the National Hockey League. That's pretty impressive.
There are years when you're looking to see who that third forward is on the all-rookie team, and you're like, wow, that guy made the all-rookie team? Or, you know, like, my rookie year, Thomas Erickson, a defenseman in Philadelphia, made the all-rookie team. And it was kind of like, yeah, there aren't many rookie defensemen in the NHL this year. This year? Wow.
Yeah.
It is pretty impressive what they're doing. And Patrick Laine, what also impresses me about him is, I mean, he missed time with a concussion. Let's not forget that he dealt with an injury that could have been worse, but he did miss time, came back. He dealt with, I guess you would say, it's the embarrassment of scoring. And it was a legitimate goal. It wasn't whoops. Like, I meant to pass back to my goalie. It was
really
an actual shot. Poor guy. And I mean, just, I still see his face on the bench and just like it was beet red, you know, and just trying to be consoled by his teammates. But I mean, and I would think when you're young, that can hurt you, like mentally, at least for a little while. Meh, he bounced right back. So he's kind of been that, you know, little up and down season as far as things that he's had to deal with injury-wise and then a whoopsie-wise in front of everyone. But then I also look at Austin Matthews, and he's managing to accomplish things on a team where there aren't that many veterans to lend a helping hand. Like, again, not to take away from Laine, but he's with a team that has, yes, good young players, but they're pretty established.
Well, he's with the fifth leading scorer in the NHL on the same line.
So there, which is another reason why some people may say, do you put Marner in the Calder talk? Because he spent most of the season on a line with veterans in JVR and Bozak, whereas Matthews has had to get it done with Hyman, Brown, or Hyman and Nylander, other rookies. So that just makes what Matthews is doing also probably a little bit more exceptional.
I would counteract that and say he's just playing with players that fit his game better.
Sure. I'm just saying, if you're trying to nitpick, if you're trying to find something that can separate the two, these are just all these little things that you have to start looking at and thinking about.
And they are. They're good considerations. Mm-hmm. Those are things that when it's so close, razor thin, you know, you try to look at all these different things. And, you know, the other thing about Austin and Patrick that's really impressed me, Matthew Tkachuk too, and same with Mitch, to me, they're true to themselves. What you see is exactly who they are. They're not being something they aren't. They just go out and play. They have a lot of joy playing, but they're... Patrick Laine is that guy with flair. Austin Matthews is that just purposeful, diligent, you know, attention to detail. I'm going to play that way. And, you know, you start to look at all the different areas of the game that, you know, you're going to try to evaluate to try to separate them, Andy. There's a lot of things that don't make it easy that you have to take into consideration.
Just thinking of style of player, and when you were scouting, you always tried to compare players style-wise and say, he reminds me of... Because that's what you do in your data bank, right? And the bigger your data bank is, that's why he's as good as what he does with the amateur side is his data bank is so big.
You're pointing over so at many Craig years. Right now.
I'm pointing at Craig. We're not on TV. Okay. I'm getting more and more like Andy. Yeah, we're on the radio. I'm pointing at Craig, but you know who I'm talking to. I'm talking
as you
about,
can see right here,
I'm
let
talking
me show
about
you.
He, so I'm not talking about you. So Craig's database is so distinct, and yet... You look at 4 different styles of players in Marner, Laine, Matthews, and Tkachuk. they're four different, very different styles of players mm-hmm. that you would love your scouts to be telling you about. He reminds me of Matthew Tkachuk. He reminds me of Austin Matthews. Oh, you know what? He reminds me of Mitch Marner. You hope someday your scout's saying, he reminds me of a young Mitch Marner. Guess what? I'm buying in. He reminds me of a Patrick Laine.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Well, by the way, so
it does tell you a story, right, in a snapshot.
Yeah, and Mitch Marner, dealing with some adversity this season as well, it came out today that he was placed on IR, retroactive to February 15th. So that was the game that he got injured in against the Columbus Blue Jackets. So when he's on IR, it's 7 days. So that doesn't mean he's ruled out for New York. But he's not going to play tonight against Winnipeg. And that's why Freddie Gauthier, has been called up. We kind of touched on it yesterday with regards to Ben Smith, so we'll get a little bit more into that. I want to talk about that. We do have Wendell Clark, who's going to be joining us a little later on in the show. He was added to Legends Row. And Scott MacArthur of the Scott MacArthur Show just created a buzz when he put out yesterday, should Dougie Gilmore be part of Legends Row? I don't know. These are things that we're going to discuss with our TSN Hockey Insider and the gentleman right here, Darren Dreger, who's going to be joining us right here on Leafs Lunch.
You just pointed. We're on radio. You're allowed to point.
But I said the gentleman right here. That's you guys. I made myself clear. And I'm clearly throwing a break. Don't interrupt. We'll be right back. Welcome back into Leafs Lunch here on TSN 1050. Streaming online today. No TV, so you don't get to see Craig Button's awesome tan or my St. Pat's jersey that the Leafs are going to be sporting on March 18th. Pooley, you're looking good, too.
Thank you, Andy.
She knew to dish out a compliment after her complaining before about not her getting compliments.
Andy Petrillo alongside Dave Pooley.
Quick, eh?
Craig Button. The Leafs in action tonight.
Quick.
Against the Winnipeg Jets, hence why that first segment we were discussing quite a bit about Patrick Laine and Matthews and all the other storylines that go along with that.
We didn't even get to Scheifele Laine at some point in the future, because
no.
That could be a pretty good pair for a long time.
Mm-hmm. There's lots to talk about. Also mentioned Mitch Marner was placed on IR earlier today, retroactive to February 18th. So rules up February 15th. What day is it? February 15th. You got injured
Anything
at Columbus.
Anything to do with numbers?
He can come back on the 22nd.
Yes.
Right? So he's eligible to come back.
Yes.
So 7 days on. They just put it retroactive for a roster spot now.
Which they called up Fred Gauthier. What does that mean? So Marner out tonight, but could be available for that New York Rangers game, which is on the 23rd. Florida Panthers winning five straight. They're now sitting third in the division. Leafs getting bumped out. Who would have thought them Panthers would now be posing a threat? As we welcome in our TSN Hockey Insider, Darren Dreger. This Hockey Insider brought to you by Finance. And how you doing, Dregs?
I'm doing well, Andy. How are you guys?
I'm great. Craig is raising his hand. He wants to ask the first question.
I do, Darren, because, you know, with Laine coming in and we know what he did, you were at the World Championships last year and you saw him right up front close. What was your first thought when you watched Patrick Laine?
He was impressive. Automatically, you could see, you know, off ice as much as on ice, you know, he's a big man, needs to develop physically, and I think he'll do that with a bit more time. But that's what struck me initially. Great personality. Again, those are the off ice characteristics that we can see in the National Hockey League. But that shot and how Team Finland absolutely used him as relentlessly as they could, particularly on the power play. So it was fun just bouncing from one team to the other. I spent a lot of time with Babcock and the Maple Leafs, and I spent a lot of time with Cheveldayoff and the Winnipeg Jets, and trying to get each guy to tip their hand a little bit as to which direction that we thought they'd go, even though I think we all knew that Toronto would go with Austin Matthews. It was still kind of a fun little game to play in Russia while over there.
So Babcock confirming today with Frederick Gauthier getting the call up. Ben Smith, he said this was his exact quote. We're going to give Smitty a reset and then get him back at it. But Goat gets a chance today. And you know, we kind of, I guess, saw this coming because last week Mike Babcock had given a quote where he said Ben Smith's intangibles, you know, outweigh his skill at the moment and that he kind of needed to catch up there. But, you know, basically saying Ben Smith was struggling. Do you think this could be Gauthier's chance to really steal this spot, so to say?
I don't know. Yeah, maybe. It's a chance. That's what it is. You know, whether or not one game is going to determine Freddie Gauthier's immediate future, you know, versus that of Ben Smith might be a little bit harsh. But, you know, considering the language that Babcock used specific to Smith and him hitting that reset, There's opportunity here for Smith, and if he doesn't take advantage of it, and Freddie Gauthier does, then that's one step in the right direction for Freddie Gauthier, and that's what it's about. I mean, this is healthy competition and part of the development process, and for one player to excel and succeed, another player is going to have to stagger a little bit on that development path. So I don't know that Ben Smith is feeling pressure. It sounds like he's got the support of his coach, but it's also a business. And Babcock has to put the players in the lineup that are going to give him the best chance to win.
Dregs, it could be a little bit, too, of just the size of Winnipeg and in doing the game on Sunday. In their their good game against Pittsburgh in the overtime loss, and then they're beating Montreal, they average almost 50 hits in each of those two games after a number of games where they were in the high teens. Yeah. So they have clearly tuned up their physical game, and that could be part of getting Freddie Gauthier into the game as well.
Well, it could be, Pooley. You're right. You know, I'm actually at the Prudential Center in Newark with the Ottawa Senators and the New Jersey Devils, and I just spent a few minutes in the Sens dressing room, and obviously the Winnipeg Jets did damage on Ottawa the other night, and Guy Boucher just gave us, I would say, a pretty dark update on Mark Stone and perhaps Hoffman, and obviously Bobby Ryan's confirmed finger fracture. He's out 4 to 6 weeks. But, you know, a couple of the players in the dressing room in preparation for tonight's game talked about how big and how physical the Winnipeg Jets were in that game and are believed to be. Now, Winnipeg's facing some challenges. Their blue line is in tatters, and, you know, the two-game suspension, Jacob Trouba, isn't going to help that, but that's how Winnipeg has to play. They've got to play that heavy game, so Toronto, I'm sure, is ready for it.
Well, I mean, so you talk about the Ottawa Senators, and, yeah, they've come out and confirmed, like, you know, Bobby Ryan's out for a while, what Stone has, the neck injury, or Hoffman, like, they're pretty banged up right now, and that's who's ahead of the Leafs. So if the Leafs can say, okay, let's try and take advantage of a team that has key guys out, but now I can't even say they're looking over their shoulder because the Florida Panthers have leapt in front of them. So this is where I guess the real challenge will come in for Mike Babcock with, you know, not watching the standings, because, I mean, I'm getting carried away. This is so easy to get carried away and see this.
Well, look, I mean, it's playoff hockey. At least that's the atmosphere and that's the feel that these organizations are embracing. They have to. There's no motivational speeches necessary by any coach in either conference, frankly, with all the teams that, you know, are still very much immersed in the race that is the fight for the playoffs. And that will most definitely be the case for the Toronto Maple Leafs. But, you know, as Babcock has maintained, I mean, this is a great experience for these guys. These are the games that matter. And, you know, if you do well in the games that matter, then chances are you're going to qualify for the playoffs. And I think that would be the sole reminder that Babcock would provide. Just look after your own. Don't worry about what Florida is doing. Don't worry about Ottawa or the teams around you. Just worry about what you've got to worry about. Look after your own, and things will probably work out.
On the injury front, there's so much pressure on teams, I know, from the other side, to have an answer right away to what an injury was. And now they've put Marner on IR. But I thought it was interesting when Department of Player Safety said one of the things in the Mark Stone hit with Jacob Trouba was there was no injury to the player.
Yeah.
How they determined that with a player who had concussion history, and now do they go back and go, oh, wait a second, maybe there was an injury to the player?
Yeah.
Because Stone is not playing tonight?
No, and look, Bully, I can tell you, in my opinion, that was a misstep by the Department of Player Safety. And I can also tell you that the Ottawa Senators are not amused by, you know, the Department of Player Safety releasing that information, which turned out to be wrong information. You know, Guy Boucher couldn't have been more emphatic in his scrum about 10 minutes ago saying that Mark Stone most definitely suffered a neck injury. And he's not playing tonight, and there's some uncertainty as to how many games he might miss. Might be one, might be two, might be more than that. I mean, when you look at the damage that injury is now causing the Ottawa Senators, and as we've touched on, you know, how perilous they sit in the Eastern Conference playoff picture, this is tough stuff. But I bet you this is a topic that is discussed at the upcoming general managers meetings in Florida. Because can you imagine if this were a Toronto Maple Leaf player and the Department of Player Safety came out and acknowledged injury versus no injury without the Leafs getting that information out first? I mean, Lou Lamoriello would be out for blood. And I would think that there's probably been a call or two from the Ottawa Senators as well.
Do you think, Darren, there's any, this might be a stretch on my part, but, you know, there was a lot of uproar in Winnipeg about no discipline for Malkin on the hit on Wheeler. Do you think that maybe perhaps the Department of Player Safety was just trying to, you know, maybe massage two things at the same time?
Maybe. And again, I wonder if just the whole aspect and the debate over illegal head checks and how supplemental discipline is applied won't be reviewed yet again at these upcoming meetings. You know, is the Department of Player Safety now charged with essentially splitting hairs? You know, Malkin and Poole didn't receive a suspension for the most part because the primary point of contact on Blake Wheeler was not the head. Yet in Jacob Truba's case, I mean, it obviously was the main point of contact in Mark Stone's head. But, you know, are we splitting hairs at this point when you look at all that's going on around the National Hockey League with ongoing litigations and the research that's done into a study of concussions and head trauma and all of that stuff? Ottawa would have settled, I think, for a major penalty to go along with the Truba two games because, you know, they needed the point there, you know, from a standings perspective. So it just adds to the agenda in the next couple of weeks, the meetings in Florida. Mm-hmm.
So I was going to ask you about some recent comments from Brooks Like basically saying that if he wasn't going to get a chance with the Leafs, that he wanted to be with a team that can contend for the Cup. And now our Bob McKenzie putting out that Brooks Like has been placed on waivers by the Leafs, Like not on unconditional waivers, which permits mutually agreed termination of contract. Do you think this was prompted by his comments? Was this something that the Leafs maybe always had in the plans for Brooks Like? Because it's pretty clear he's not going to rejoin the team.
No, I mean, that's abundantly clear. I don't know whether or not Brooks Like's representative would have, you know, encouraged the Toronto Maple Leafs to do this, just knowing full well that there isn't going to be opportunity in Toronto. And, you know, if there's opportunity even at this late stage of the regular season for him to kick in the next few days here before March 1st, then, you know, perhaps there's an appetite from somebody out there looking for an experienced player to do that. But I guess I would wonder if that were the case, you know, why wouldn't the Toronto Maple Leafs try and move that player unless, you know, teams just aren't willing to give out anything, which is often the case when players are waived and aren't picked up. So, we'll see. I mean, it's an opportunity, I suppose, for Brooks. Like, maybe, again, he encouraged it, but he may not have.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was pretty vocal in saying, you know, I know a lot of people, and your hearts were in the right place, like in Leafsland here, talking about him being that mentor. Because, I mean, it was last year where we were talking about he could possibly, I mean, there were just debates about whether or not he could be the captain, right? A lot of people saying, well, if he doesn't play that much, you can't really make him the captain. But the fact that he was such a mentor, you know, bringing guys, doing things with them off the ice, going for dinner, going to games, or just doing things. And then he said, you know, I'm still 33. I feel like I can outplay a lot of these 20-year-olds. He goes, but you guys are talking about me like I'm 45. He's like, by no means am I done in this game. He's like, I feel like my best years are ahead of me. So how quickly things can change.
Yeah, and look, I admire Brooks Like for his willingness to compete, his want to compete. But if the head coach and the organization doesn't feel the same way, then you're never going to win that one. I mean, clearly Toronto sees more value and the flexibility of, you know, giving Ben Smith an additional crack or bringing up Freddie Gauthier and, you know, getting him as much NHL experience as you possibly can, as they do in bringing in a veteran depth forward. So it's unfortunate, but guess what? That's the reality of life in the National Hockey League now. You know, if you're past 30, you'd better have term left on your contract because it's tough to encourage anyone to sign you for any amount of term after your 30th birthday unless you're a superstar.
Dregs, appreciate you taking the time. Have a good one.
Okay, thank you.
That is Darren Dreger, our TSN Hockey Insider. This Hockey Insider brought to you by Finance It, monthly payment plans for big dreams and everyday budget. So, you know, some news coming out then as the Leafs get set to take on the Jets. As we mentioned, Marner on IR. Freddie Gauthier getting the call up. We know yesterday Brooks Like made some comments about if he's not going to get a crack with the Leafs again, he wants to be with the Stanley Cup contender. So right now the Leafs have placed Brooks Like on conditional waivers. We've got more coming up, including
Waivers.
But they can actually mutually terminate.
Not until you put them on unconditional waivers. So he's not on unconditional waivers.
He's not on unconditional waivers yet.
Right. So you got to put them on regular waivers. which is just the regular waiver system.
Exactly. So he's not, and then if they put him on unconditional, they can mutually terminate. There you go.
I know.
Why is this so complicated?
Andy loves rules and numbers. Those are her two favorite things in life.
Dave will recall this.
I hate them with a passion.
See, Dave will recall this, and a lot of people won't, but there used to be recallable waivers.
Yes.
You used to be able to put players on waivers.
Wave them into the out the window.
And then see who was interested in them, and then revoke
pull them back.
Yeah, that was called recallable waivers. Bob Goodnow got rid of that real quick.
So if you wanted to test the market and see who had an interest in one of your players, you just threw them out there. And then it got to be, okay, well, it's a bluff. They're not going to let them go. So it's the dreaded facts, right? Yeah. The dreaded facts, we called it. You'd send a fax out to the other 29 teams. If anyone has an interest in Andy Petrillo, please call at. That's what the recallable waivers did.
Seriously, just make it simple. And then, of course, we're in a market where a GM is doing the most complicated things. I can't wrap my head around what Lou does half the time.
What do you mean complicated?
Players getting called up, players going down. How many times can you call a player up on emergency? Where did that player go? LTIR.
As long as emergency conditions exist, you can call up a player as many times as you want on emergency conditions. You got to meet the emergency condition. It can be complicated, and it's not easy to put it in layman's terms. But this is where
you calling me a layman.
but it is because there's a lot of nuances to it. And that's where Brandon Pridham comes into play.
Yeah, and virtually no decisions. It's interesting. I talked to a GM this morning, and we were talking about a specific situation. He said it's good to hash over this. I said I want to talk about something on the radio. He said it's good to hash over this before you do it. Before they make decisions, they call the league office all the time, Central Registry. And Brandon Pridham was one of the people they were calling in the league office.
Him and Sean McLeod crafted the CBA.
These guys wrote and formed the CBA.
So Pridham to be with the Leafs, man. They got the guy who can explain everything.
If you're doing it, you've done it. And you call the league office, say, what about this? What about this? Here might be a better way to do it. I mean, they're working in conjunction with you because they want the rules to work seamlessly. There are a million rules.
And you're just trying to get clarification, too. And sometimes by calling, they might not even have an answer for you. They might just say, no, but honestly, they just say, okay, let's look at this. Because unless you're dealing with it on a daily, regular basis,
it's not all black and white.
It really isn't. So then they'll talk and they'll bring people into it. Then they'll go through it. What are you trying to accomplish? And go through there. So it's not as easy as everybody thinks it is.
No kidding. It's like that math equation. If a train leaves this station and is traveling at this speed and that, shut up.
Read over the CBA, Andy. It's a wonderful document.
Just get on a train, one of them. All right, we've got Wendell Clark who's going to be joining us here on Leafs Lunch as you continue to listen on TSN 1050 and stream online tsn.ca. They'll rescue you from your car lease. Lease Busters, heroic, maybe, helpful, totally. People would love to take over your car lease for your lease relief. Go to leasebusters.com. Welcome back into Leafs Lunch. Andy Petrillo alongside Dave Poole and Craig Button. The Leafs in action tonight against the Winnipeg Jets. That game right here on TSN 4. Pre-game beginning at 7 p.m. with puck drop at 7:30. The Florida Panthers on a tear. They won five straight, so now they're sitting third in the Atlantic. The Leafs were holding on to that wild card spot, but now they've been bumped out. So just sitting on the outside, and this is pretty much how it's going to be. Right down the stretch, it's going to be a seesaw. It's going to be back and forth.
Like lap money in a NASCAR race. You're watching the Indy 500, seeing who's leading in the 300th lap.
And who has how much gas they have in the tank.
You could torment yourself watching this every day, Andy. If you're going to watch these standings every day, you're going to torment yourself.
And there's no, and we cannot talk really about games in hand anymore. I mean, sure, there's maybe one or two, but it's not
it's
like the
even.
Six. Yeah, it's not like the six they had before. It's done.
By the end of the month, it'll be even.
I said this 10 days ago, and I'm no less there. The team that's really looking over their shoulders and I think has really got some troubles that they got to fix, the Montreal Canadiens.
We briefly touched on that yesterday. I want to get that get to that again with you. But first, we got to welcome in a legendary Leaf who's now
legend.
Who is a legend, and he's
he
on Legends Row.
He was a legend, but now he's on Legends Row.
Mr. Wendell. I love that song. Mr. Wendell Clark, how you doing?
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
We're great. So I'm actually sporting right now the St. Pat's jersey that the Leafs are going to wear on March 18th because it's all part of celebrating 100 years. And the celebrations have been going on all year long, and we know that they retired the numbers earlier of numbers that were previously honored. Your number was there. Now you're going to be added to Legends Row. That's also part of the 100 years and, of course, moving forward. How does it feel now to know that your image will forever be outside the Air Canada Centre?
Well, it's a huge honour just to be a part of that group on that bench, and especially to go in with those guys getting announced is unbelievable.
Did you think about it at all, Wendell, when you were named, when they made the announcement that they were going to retire the jersey numbers? Did you think about that bench at all?
It goes through your head now and again. You're looking at that, and I said, you know, you're building a team. As you guys know, you need a fourth line. So I'm capable of being a fourth line on that team if you look at all those guys' numbers.
Yeah. Well, hey, listen, if you get input with the sculptor, make sure you get your leg up over the boards, and that'll mean you're up next.
I'm out. Jump on, get on the ice early, get my minute in.
Perfect.
Wendell, the first thing is congratulations. I think that the way you wore the Maple Leafs jersey, I mean, you embodied the fabric of playing hockey for the team and playing it hard. And we hear the term now, play the right way. I don't think it could apply in any more greater way than the way you played. So congratulations, first of all. But you start. You come here as the first overall pick, and you are a huge part of the Toronto Maple Leafs history. when you really try to take it all in, and you know, small kid, small from a small town, Saskatchewan town, and from coming to Toronto, what does that mean to you to be arguably with one of the greatest sports franchises, not just hockey, but greatest sports franchises in the world?
Like you hate to overplay, but it's an honor when you're a player and you get to be remembered with the guys that are there on that bench or have your number raised. And myself, I'm just taking it as a person. I'm representing all the Leafs over time that maybe didn't get a chance to be out there that were great Leafs that did a lot. But it's a fun thing to be a part of. It's a one thing to remember about playing hockey, and I think Mike does a great job as coach, and he's coached these guys, is just play the game on the ice, do your job, and great things will happen. If they win as a team, great things will happen for all the guys, whether you're on a Leafs team or any team that you play on. If your team does well, great things can happen.
What does it mean to, I mean, yourself, and I know you've had a chance to speak to a lot of the other guys who've had, you know, either their number retired or be on Legends Row, and I know it's all around the 100 years, but still, in talking with them and talking with Brendan Shanahan, what does it mean to have the history of this team honored? Because there's been some, you know, dark days in the last decade or two, and, you know, we, even though we look back on the glory days, it was still kind of stuck in the darkness of a team that wasn't making the playoffs. But the 100 years seems to be coinciding with this remarkable season by rookies here. So what does it all mean to just have the history be honored and just see such a bright future right in front of you as well?
Well, I think it's great timing in that the team's playing really well. Lots of young players, very exciting. And at the same time, you're honoring guys like Davey Keon coming back, Frank Mahovlich, Brett Kelly. You're really remembering the years that those guys put the team on the mat. Charlie Conacher started, you know, the Leafs' first superstar, really, way back. And in doing that, it's a fun time to be doing the 100th because the young guys are doing great. And we're getting to remember the history that started the Leafs with all those guys that won the Cups. And Davey Keon coming back was really probably a mentor for all of us. And the Chief George Armstrong that won the last Stanley Cup. So just you're pulling it all together with a great season.
Okay, so when I spoke to Dave Keon when he was put on Legends Row, I asked him his input into his bronze statue. And he said he had quite a bit. So when you have to give your input, what's the important feature you want to see on your bronze statue?
Well, after looking at myself right now, make sure there's only one chin on it. they can do whatever it wants. Well, I'm out there. I'm very happy to be a part of it. So, you know, I can default to the guys that know. Maybe give me a set of soft hands with that metal they're using.
Oh, well, you got to make sure the whiskers are on point, though. I mean, the mustache is what you're known for.
Yeah, we'll have to make sure there's a good mustache there. Maybe that's the one thing we'll change the color on. I mean, I'll go by with a Sharpie after it's done to make sure it's there.
Hey, Wendell, growing up, was there a Leaf or a couple of Leafs that, you know, when you came to Toronto that you looked back and go, geez, these are some guys that I had watched when I was a kid?
Probably more or less my first year getting there, and which you really remember, as you guys know, walking into Maple Leaf Gardens is after practices, and you'd walk around all the levels, is all the pictures on the wall, and then getting to play with Borya Salming for a couple of years, and then he got to play with Daryl, so you've seen Daryl's numbers, and the Chief, the last guy to hold the cup, and Johnny Bauer always being around, Ron Ellis always being around. Those guys are really the guys you looked up to when they come around the rink, because those are the guys that won the cups and played well, and you remembered it. So it was a lot of my history was a quick learning in that first year as a Maple Leaf with the guys that were around, and then all the pictures on the wall. That used to be the best part about the Gardens, was walking around and just looking at all that history.
Well, I know the young guys on the Leafs right now say they love the fact that they're playing during the 100th year, because they get to see guys like you roaming the halls as well and getting a chance to speak to you. And, I mean, you're a player they grew up watching, so it's been special for them. So, Wendell, congratulations again, and thanks for taking the time.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
That is Wendell Clark, who has now been added to Legends Row, who wants to make sure his physique...
Still one of my fondest memories. I played in Wendell's first All-Star game in Hartford, and he came out in the first period and ran Mario Lemieux.
Oh, he didn't care.
And everybody in our locker room was like, wait a second, this is an All-Star game.
He didn't care.
Didn't matter. That's the way he played.
You think about, like, I think the Toronto Maple Leafs were really lucky. You know, the year they picked first and took Wendell Clark. Because you didn't just get a really good player and an impactful player. You got a high-end person. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we go all the way back. We come all the way now to the summer of 2016. It's not just that they got a centerman and they got this really good player. But I think Austin Matthews is a great fit for the city of Toronto. He goes about his business. He plays hard. And he's not going to be overwhelmed by it or let it affect him in any adverse way. So much like Wendell, I think the Leafs, you know, really not just getting a really top player first overall, but we're talking about people that are just, you know, at the top levels of
and
of
that
quality.
That is a huge responsibility to embrace, and people underestimate how challenging and difficult that can be at times, and Wendell Clark has embraced it throughout his career, pre or post rather, and right through today.
And I know we've talked about Matthews and personality and character before, but I think it speaks volumes when we know Lou Lamoriello likes to protect the rookies. He always says that, right? You kind of protect them a little bit. But the fact that Matthews speaks to the media every single day, speaks to them on practice days, he speaks to them on game day, just goes to show that even the organization knows that Matthews doesn't get overwhelmed by this stuff, doesn't bother him, doesn't bog him down, that he just has that kind of, you know, slip off the back attitude where, meh, sure, I'll talk to you because what you're saying is not going to affect me. You know, your questions aren't going to get into my head. And, you know, even management has figured that out very quickly about Austin Matthews. I didn't want to ask Wendell about the Doug Gilmour question because, A, that's just not fair. Why should he have to answer that? But I just want to quickly ask you guys, because it was brought up yesterday. Scott MacArthur tweeted it out. Should Doug Gilmour have been part of Legends Row? I know the guys on Overdrive discussed it as well. What do you guys think?
Listen, I think the first thing is to recognize, number one, that Doug Gilmour, you know, his time in Toronto was a special time in Toronto. You know, Pat Burns coach and the run they had here. But it was a very brief time for Doug. And Doug was very, very good during that time here. But to me, to be part of the Legends role of the Toronto Maple Leafs, he wasn't here long enough. So it's not about that when he was here, he wasn't good enough. But we're talking about players that were here for a long period of time. And I think that's a big fact here. So I think that, no, that he shouldn't be part of the conversation for Legends role with the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, I think there's a difference between the number being retired, which has happened for Doug Gilmour, and the longevity of Legends Row. That's the biggest separator for me, is the pure longevity of it.
See, it's hard for me to comment on that because Dougie Gilmour was part of the Leafs team when it had an impact on my life, right? Like, I was young enough where that's where I started to be influenced by players on the team. that's where I start to look at the double overtime goal against St. Louis. He was the guy that got high-sticked. You know, he was the guy that created that flair. There was that energy. There was a lot of excitement around him. So to, for me personally, I'm like, Dougie Gilmore's part of Leafs history for me.
What about Curtis Joseph? I mean, he was a big part of it too. You know, when he came in here and, you know, like the, so, and again, I don't want us to, I mean, Curtis, I mean, you look at his record, I mean, he's not in the Hall of Fame, mm-hmm. you know, and I mean, that debate will go on with Curtis and everything too, but he was a part of that energy too. And, you know, to me, it's not a criticism of Doug Gilmore, the player. It's just that he didn't spend mm-hmm. enough time in a Toronto Maple Leafs jersey. As much as he had an impact and as much as everybody remembers how wonderful those times were, you included, I just don't think to be on Legends Row, it's a long enough period of time. I just don't.
I'm going to start the Felix Potvin.
Well, Felix was great too, wasn't he?
Well, you equate it with success, and
he
the teams that are successful, you know, brought the attention, and you're very right about your specific, I just said that, your specific team.
That's
that
a tricky
you followed,
word, my friend.
And
you'll
how
cut
that
you off,
impacts
Dave,
it.
Use of that word if you don't get it right.
Holy
trust me.
Holy smokes.
Uh-huh. See? Doesn't roll off the tongue as easily as you think.
You know, I got a question for you. Is that jersey tied down?
You are not jerseying me.
Okay, wait a sec. Wait a sec.
You are not going to put this over my head.
She just said that word doesn't roll off your tongue as easily as you would think. She gives me a hard time. She won't let me use it.
Because
she's
doesn't.
Giving you every pass. It's not so easy, Dave. I understand. I never got that.
Well, he's not getting a pass now. He just threatened to jersey me. Just ask me if my jersey was
tied
down.
Tie it down, girl.
This thing will fall off no matter what. Look how big this thing is. You can, I look like a Timbits hockey player. Thing
Speaking
is like it's down to my knees, and it's
we did a thing last night on That's Hockey Tonight about Laine and Matthews, and I hadn't seen it, but at the Centennial game when Mike Babcock was talking about the young players and the Timbits players, I mean I was so amused listening to him. Last night was the first time I'd see. I don't know how I missed it, but boy, that was really amusing to hear Mike talk.
What was he comparing the young players?
Yeah, he exactly. says, oh, they're all young. He says it's like, you know, the Timbits players come out here and they play. That's like what some I think sometimes our young guys think they should be playing with those kids
because they were skating on the little rink out beside the outdoor rink.
Yeah. I mean, they sit on the bench and you can all you see is like the top of their helmets. They can't even see over the bench.
Well, I think, Dave, you wanted to talk about that a little bit, where the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah, and just as a team, you know, that I would say for the last 5 or 6 years, they've drafted very well. They've built a team, and it's a cautionary tale for how hard it is to build a team in the National Hockey League. And Kevin Sheveldayoff and Craig Heising have done a great job of building this team and building the organization for the long term, which is the buzzword now. You don't want to build a team for a one-flash success. You want to build a team for the long term. And they've done it, and they took a step backwards last year after making the playoffs the year before because they wanted to inject the youth at the right time. And some of it is controlled by waivers, and you have to get players in there, and they've had their time in the minors. And then they had a couple of more good first-round draft picks in Kyle Connor and Jack Roslovic. So you've got this wave coming, and it's still really hard. They're not a playoff team right now. They had a succession plan for goalies. Hasn't quite worked out. And they've got, it looks like, the talent there in Connor Hellebuyck and Michael Hutchinson and Eric Comrie coming, and yet they haven't been able to separate themselves from Pavlik. It's really hard, the timing of building a hockey team, and I think the Winnipeg Jets are an absolute prime example of how challenging and difficult it is. They have really good players. They have older players. They have depth. They have a good infusion of young talent. It looks like they have a couple of kids that could be superstars in Scheifele. And Laine, and don't forget about Ehlers.
But do you think they would be light years ahead if their goaltending situation had been figured
out? Well, that's how difficult it is, though. It's all these different components.
Would you say the Leafs are ahead with Frederick Anderson in net?
They're ahead of where they were.
To be determined.
But they've taken steps forward. Mm-hmm. What you want to do as an organization, to Dave's point, you want to take steps forward. Understanding that there are constraints. There's salary cap mm-hmm. constraints. There's free agency constraints.
Budget constraints.
Right. And then you have your own internal, right? So to become a better team, they needed to upgrade their goaltending. So Toronto did that. But it's one step. We keep talking about their blue line. Well, they know that they need to improve their blue line. So these are steps along the way. What Dave mm-hmm. is saying is that the Winnipeg Jets have done a lot of these things. And they've been very well and incredibly with incredible patience and understanding where they want to be. And here they are still there. So I don't think it's as easy as just saying that it's if their goaltending situation was figured out. Because guess what? That's a part of the equation.
Well, Leafs are going to look to get back into the playoff picture tonight, taking on the Winnipeg Jets. That's on TSN 4 pregame at 7 p.m. Still no Mitch Marner. Freddie Gauthier back in the lineup. Ben Smith, a healthy scratch. That's it for us. Scott MacArthur Show coming up next.